Call the meeting to order.
Rise for the flag salute.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So would that be under personal listening?
First thing we'll start with is the superintendent's update.
All right. I won't say it like the news says it. Breaking news, the heat. It's not breaking when we already knew it was going to be hot, but all our sites have done a very good job of watching the heat and the smoke to determine if students can go outside or not. All sites have provided cool rooms for the students not wanting to spend time outside. Recesses and breaks were still okay, but lunch recesses mostly were spent inside. After school held all their classes this week inside. So just give you kind of an idea, since everybody's making the news these days about that. I think we did the right way. Bus grant. We are receiving a bus grant for $165,000 to purchase a new bus to replace one of the old ones, number 8. We will order the new one, and we're going to add air conditioning like we do when we get them, which the grant does not cover, so we'll cover that. We have no idea how long it will take to get the new bus, given everything that's going on right now, but it's likely not going to be until next school year, but we'll get started.
So will the money that we made off the bus from the high school, will that cover the air conditioning for that?
It will mostly pay for the air conditioning.
Mostly?
So typically, well, I don't know what the price is going to be yet because everything's gone up. But last year, the bus cost us about $207,000. We have $165,000 from air quality, and we've got $25,000 for that bus. So that gets us close, but not all the way.
So what is the air conditioning to add it? Do you know roughly what it is to put air conditioning? I mean, we have to add that? It doesn't come as a...
No, we order it with the air conditioning.
Okay.
But the grant specifically says they won't pay for the air conditioning.
Okay.
So if the bus were only $140,000, but you add an air conditioning and it made it $165,000, they're only going to pay $140,000.
Okay, I got
but
that.
Our bus is going to be over $165,000 without air conditioning, and we'll just pay for the air conditioning. And a rough amount is probably between $10,000 to $20,000 for air conditioning for the
bus. Wow. Okay. Thank you. Sorry.
No problem. Just to give you an idea of what things are looking like this year, we got our bill for our property premium, our casualty premium, our self premium, which is beyond property if you go higher than that, and the deductible fund premium. This year, our bill is $443,373. Last year, it was $317,719. It's a difference of $125,000, which is about a 39.5% increase. This is all happening because of the loss for insurance companies because of the fires. And it's been an ongoing issue. So there's not going to be a lot of reprieve in how this is going to happen in the next few years. COVID, we're still seeing plenty of cases, but most are mild, and students and staff are back anywhere between 5 and 10 days. It's still affecting our sub pool, but the sites are making it work as best they can. Some of you know that the city applied for a grant to help construct the community pool. They were not successful in their grant, so they are looking for other options. They are planning to talk with the family to see if they'll extend the 7-year moratorium on the money, and if not,
So you don't think the town's going to share over at the low-income apartments that pool with everybody?
I don't think so.
Man, if we could get that gate code.
Yeah. So I'm going to do the report from a 2x2x2 committee, so those of you in the audience. We meet once or 3 times a year with 2 board members and myself from here, 2 board members and Nicole from the high school, and 2 city council members and the city manager to talk about all things we learn. So I'm going to tell you what I remember from the meeting, and then both Robin and Nikki were there, and they can fill in if I miss anything. So, Calatera Ranch, it is slated for 552 single-family units, 4 acres of commercial property, 5 acres of a park, and 2 acres for a future fire station.
Is that the one by Bear River?
This is one by Bear River, yes. K-Hub Homes has purchased and has begun phase one. Those of you who've driven by know that. It has 145 lots. The infrastructure improvements are almost complete. The model homes are either done or almost done. And some of the homes have already sold and will be built soon. They are, you know, a lot of times developers will build houses and then sell them. The way they're doing it is they're selling the house and then building. So if somebody comes in and wants to buy the house, they go through the process and then they start on the building. Their plan earlier, a couple years ago, was to be done by October of 2022. That is obviously not going to happen. I think you might get some inhabitants in there by January, but they'll be in a construction zone while they're living there. There are four phases, is that right? Robin, was it
yes.
Four phases? So they have to go, they have already approval for phase two, but they have to go back to the city for phase three and phase four. But they would go much faster because the infrastructure is what's taking so long. And then there's the First Street Senior Housing Project. It has not begun. There's a 2 acre lot at First and East Street. It's structured to be 32 units in phase one and 20 units in phase two. City staff is currently reviewing the plan, but the group that's doing the next thing I talk about is also doing that one, and the city believes they will not start the senior housing project until they finish the Bear Ridge family apartment project, which is 9 acres right over here on Spenceville, east of Main Street, west of McCurry Street. It's two phases with approximately 48 multi-family apartments, low income, and yes, it will have a swimming pool. That was a question that came up, and the answer is yes, because they have specific things when they do a low income project that they have to put into apartment complexes so that folks living there are not feeling like they're living in a low income apartment. So they are going to put a swimming pool in. I don't know the expected date. I don't think they said that.
No, because the first section is that they're doing now and getting ready to pour is approved, but the second phase where the barn is, they were having some problems with some of the infrastructure issues, and that's why I said we get to have the barn a little longer. They weren't sure when they were going to be able to start phase two, and phase two is where the swimming pool will go as well. So. This one's probably going to go up pretty fast because they're getting ready to pour foundation anytime. So,
in phase one, is that the one, the 9 acres, not the whole thing, just that first part? Phase one?
I believe the whole thing is 9 acres, so the first phase is only 4 acres.
Sending possums all over the neighborhood.
And that's all I have for the 2x2. Is there anything else that we should?
The only other thing is that Raj paid that money for the property behind Evergreen, that they're going to also put some more low-income housing back in there. So he put his $40,000 in, and he's working with a company, and so they're going to put some more low-income housing back behind Evergreen on that property, kind of where his fruit stand and tree lot is. So that's on the board as well. So.
All right, so I'm going to move on to attendance. At this time, at the time of the agenda, we had 1,366 students. It was 2 less students than we had last year at this time, and 6 less than I reported in August. August is always a tough number because you don't know if the kids are actually going to come. Obviously 6 did not. There's 117 students in our preschool program, 25 less than last year, and 9 more than last month. So we have a total of 1,483, which is 27 less than last year at this time. That's what I have for superintendent update.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Okay, we'll move on to communications from the public. anybody that wanted to speak? Okay, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Are there any questions from the board? I'll take a motion.
I make a motion to accept the consent agenda.
Second.
And moved in second. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Consent agenda passes. Moving on to action items. Moving on to 5.1, public hearing for certification of instructional materials for education code 60119.
So per education code 60119, we had to post a public notice about our textbooks and instructional materials. So that was posted on August 29th, and this is just for information on this one. So if anybody has any questions, I'm happy to answer. Very short.
It's been a long day.
Are there any questions? Okay, moving on to 5.2, that one doesn't call for a vote. 5.2A.
5.2 is going along with the resolution that was just talked about. We have another resolution that certifies that we have sufficient textbooks and instructional materials to be consistent with the content and cycles of the curriculum framework by the state board. So,
are there any questions? I'll entertain a motion for 5.2.
So moved.
Second.
And moved and seconded. Any questions? Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? So carried. Moving on to 5.3, approve the 2021-2022 unaudited actual financial report and the budget revisions for 2020-2021 contained therein.
Okay, so 5.3, the unaudited actuals, is closing of the books for last year. Okay? When they say unaudited, it's because the outside auditor has not audited them yet. They will, and it will come back to you as audited in December. I'm going to go through where we are with the closing of fiscal year 21-22. So I'll start off with revenues. You can see where our revenues come from. The lion's share is from LCIF sources, and then the federal revenue, some state revenue, and other local revenue. So LCIF brings in 62% of our revenue. It was $14,086,581. EPA, I've explained this before, but I'll explain it again. About 3 or 4 years ago, the government, in all their wisdom, decided that they were going to pull back money from the districts and take it out to a vote. And when they did that, the vote passed, and so we got the money back. They took it out of one pocket, put it in the other, but they added a stipulation that it could only be paid for teacher salaries and classified salaries, no administrative costs. So our EPA is part of the LCFF, which is $5,350,561, and all of those funds were spent on teacher salaries and benefits. Then the federal revenue, we received impact pay, Department of Defense money, MAW money, and then we have some restricted monies for grants, some categoricals like Title I, Title II, and the CARES money, which is COVID related. So those two combined make up 16% of our revenue at just under $3.6 million. Other state, so lottery money and mandated cost money is $294,000. And then we have Prop 20 lottery, which is restricted. So the lottery money on the unrestricted side can be used for anything, hence unrestricted. The revenue coming on the restricted side of the Prop 20 revenue, lottery revenue, can only be used for textbook evaluation. So CARES funding or COVID funding or ESSER funding or whatever you want to call it, this is a chart that shows you how much you are anticipated to get. So for example, in ESSER 1, we were anticipated to get $152,296 and we received $152,286 and we spent $152,286. If you look at the other ones like ESSER 2, and this is where it's kind of interesting because the public thinks maybe we got all this money. ESSER 2, we were supposed to get $601,000, we've only received $240,000. ESSER 3, $1.8 million, we've only received $135,000. ESSER 3, running loss, we haven't received any. And then the GERF money came in and expended. We have state reserve money, which we received some of it, not all of it. Year 2, and you can just read on down. When you get down to some of the bottom ones, those are the ones that we've extended, except for the grant pieces. So right now, we're anticipating $4.6 million, and we've received $2.4 million. You will see that the way that this works is you have to bill back to the state as you spend it. So it does require you to spend first and bill back second. So you will see in the expenditure portion that we have spent more than we received to date. But when you bill back and only allow you to bill back quarterly, then these numbers that we receive will go up based on what we use to purchase the items. Make sense? Other local revenue, so interagency services, interest, miscellaneous, we have about $243,000. After school fees and special ed money is $1.5 million, so it's 100% of our revenue. So our total revenues on the unrestricted side is 16.4, on the restricted side is 16.1, for a total this last year, of $22,644,007.08. Now we get the expenditure fees. So we spend the lion's share of the money on people, right? The three biggest ones are certificate salaries, classified salaries, and employee benefits. Of course, for the service industry, so that's expected. So $8 million for certificate salaries, $4.2 for classified salaries, and then $5.3 million for employee benefits. That's not just medical benefits, that is workers' comp, all of those other things that we spent. Social Security, STIRS, PERS, all those other things that we got to pay. So I always tell people that a $50,000 employee costs the district about $80,000 because of all that additional costs. And then books and supplies, services, and other operating, capital outlay, and then indirect costs. So, certificate salaries, we spent, like I said, $8 million. 6.1 of it came from unrestricted and 1.8 came from the restricted side. Classified salaries, 2.3 from unrestricted, almost 1.9 from restricted, so 4.2 million. So 20% of our expenditures, I don't think that's 38% of the certificate. 20% for classified. Employee benefits, $5.3 million, which is about 26%. I always make this reference that we spend less on our classified salaries than we do on all the benefits. And again, that's not benefits, but medical benefits. Books and supplies, we spent last year just over $1 million. Services and other operating, so for example, we have HVAC and that's coming in. We spend $1.8 million on all of that. Capital outlay, typically it's money that is for larger projects, so we spend $425,000, which is only 2% of the expenses. Other outgo, so the board members that have been here know that that number right there, that's $4,078 for the transfer for the county office of ed, special ed, used to be in the $800,000 to $900,000 range. We took all of our programs back except for the students at Virginia School. And so that $4,000 is what we had to pay them this year. Transfers of indirect costs are costs that go to the district for running the business. Basically, it pays for the salaries of our business people, our HR people, et cetera, so on. So that's 20. These are always interesting because we took $113,000. We transferred some of it over to restricted and then used the rest.
Craig, can I ask a question on one slide back on the special ed? Now, we took our kids back, but does this amount include any students that we may have in other schools or programs? Or I know that we are looking to place, you know, I mean, does that come in this number or is that, you know?
Yeah, so this that, number.
Like if it's not Yuba County, is it somewhere else, I guess, is what my question is.
This is only Yuba County. And
okay.
No, we don't. Last year, we did not have any students that went to a non-public school or anywhere else. This year, we actually have a student that's in foster home here that we drive to Sacramento every day. But we're lucky in that Ann is able to work with the Sac City School District, and they're educating that. They had the child before, and they're educating the child and not charging us. So the only thing we're having to pay is the transportation costs, which, don't get me wrong, is about 75 bucks a day to drive the van back and forth. But it's a lot better than what it could be. But the county, they just continually raise the prices. So they're going to actually drive themselves out of business. Right now, to put a child in a county SDC program, it's right around $46,000. We can send the child to a non-public school for 30. Of course, we have to transport it, 36. So yeah, it's really getting expensive.
So we only have that one student right now.
Correct.
Right. But we have some.
We have some.
Work their way into that situation.
Okay.
The downside is most of our NPS providers aren't accepting these students
So, and just also, I think this is kind of a little bit of a falsehood, that they take money off the top of our LCFF, and this is just a difference. So they may have taken $50,000 already. So let's say we have one student that costs $45,000, they took $40,000, then our excess cost would be $5,000. So it is more expensive than that, but this is what we had to write a check for. So transfers of indirect, I went through that. CARES expenditures, so if you remember, we received 2.something million and we spent 3 million. So we should be getting some of that back as the billing goes forward. So total expenditures, this last year was $20,855,534. So we also have contributions where we had to contribute from the unrestricted side to the restricted side, so it zeroes itself out. Special ed, we always spend more in special ed and transportation than we receive. It's always been that way, it'll always be that way. This year, 22-23, there is an increase in transportation. But prior to that, they've been funding transportation based on 2012 costs. So we've not received an increase in that since 2012. But special ed costs, we always spend more, and we always harp on them. The state can give us more money for special ed. Again, the whole thing, we spend so much money, if we're going to give it to you special ed, we're going to take it away from you. And then we contribute from the general fund $25,000 to the preschool program, basically for the para ed. But really, what it comes down to is they are also part of our impact aid report that receives federal dollars. And so we can't give them the impact aid money, so the money goes into our account, and then we transfer back $25,000 to help offset. So this year, we have actually a net increase in the general fund, which is always nice to see, at $1.7 million. Now, this is before we transfer back the money that the school site tax is saying. But it's much better than anticipated. And some of that, a lot of that is one-time only money, so it's not like it's going to be an ongoing thing. To reconcile, which you have to reconcile, when we did an estimated budget, we expected to spend $1.75 million more than we received. We ended up at unaudited, being on the good, 1.76. So it's a swing of 3.5 million. The expenditure decreased. So that's where the majority of it, we spent less than we anticipated by 4.6 million. But we also had a decrease in revenue, so they didn't give us as much money as they said originally, by $1 million. So that's what makes up that difference. So the general fund balance is $9.1 million, which would not get us through half of a year if the state went belly up or something. But it's still a good fund balance. So the components of the ending fund balance, we have a revolving cash of $13,450. That never changes. The biggest board action to change that. Basically what that is a checking account that we can use when somebody loses their paycheck or we forget to pay somebody, and we write it out of there, and then it gets reimbursed. And then we have a 6% for economic uncertainties of $1.2 million. The state requires it's differentiating between size of districts, but most districts are 3%, smaller districts is 5, where we have 6. We have other designations, there's the salary and benefits of $4.2 million. We make sure that if there's ever a lull, which there always is in getting the state money, we have enough money to pay all of our employees. Then we have $168,000 put aside for accrued vacation. So if somebody has vacation on the books and they quit, you have to pay them off. So that's an ever-changing number, and you typically don't spend it. The way we typically do it is if somebody is going to quit and, well, retire or quit, and they tell us in advance, that we back up their end date to how many vacation days they have, and they just stop working then, so we don't have to pay them out of the way. We have $1.5 million in lottery, and that will go towards textbooks. And then restricted categories, which are grants and Title I's, and Title II's, all that is 1.6. So the deficit spending trend, I have to put this up there every year. I'm not going to read them all to you, but you can see, for example, in 9-10, that second year, we expected to have $1.7 million on the good, and at the end, it was 4.4. That was the year that a large chunk of that aid came in. Anything that has parentheses around it is what we spent more than we brought in. So for example, in 2019, we spent $1.6 million more than we received in revenue. And which one did she ask? We had deferrals in 1920 and 2021. So it's kind of a, when we say we were overspent by $1.6 million, we see the next year we were underspent by $2.3 million. It's because the state withheld $1.2 million that they were supposed to give us in 1920, and then they turned around and gave it to us in 2021. So it's a shell game, right? So other funds. You know, we have the charter schools, so right now they have a fund balance of $570,000. They had an increase of $122,000 this year at the closing. Child Development Fund, we have $194,910 in there, which is a decrease of $150. Cafeteria Fund, $179,461, increased by $50,000. Deferred Maintenance, we have a fund balance of $257,141. Which decreased by $32,000 because that's what we did. That's what we bought the carpet in from the school out. Special Reserve Fund, Impact A, we have $2.9 million in there, and it's just gone up by interest only. You do not put any money back into that. It's just the interest of the utility, which is not very much. Capital Facilities Fund is a fund balance of $299,000 and an increase of $229,000. That is developer fees. So $229,607, about $200,000 of that came from the new houses and the low-income housing because they have to pay developer fees as they go along. Then we have the Special Reserve Capital Outlay for Capital Projects, $2.7 million. That's where the funds that when we sued over the building of Bear River went into that Special Reserve Capital Outlay. And then we have the Retiree Benefits Fund, which is a full accrual you have to account for, and those that you're paying for. So there's $260,000 that's sitting there that would get extended. That's it. Any questions?
At one point in the future, whenever, is it possible to get what it is costing us to do our own special ed? I mean, or is that like a huge, is it a possible, or is it?
Okay, so that's a question that I'll ask. Do you want new costs or do you want the entire cost of special education? Because we already had our RSP programs. Mm-hmm. We had transportation for kids. We have more transportation. We have the SDC and we have the speech now. So what is the cost of the total special ed?
No, the cost of what we took over. So the new cost. Is that possible or no? If not, as I mean.
We can look at it. I mean, we also have to back out what we're spending by what we charge Columbus Lake because we have their SDC kids. And we charge them for their per student cost.
So it's very, very complicated. It's okay.
It's pretty complicated, but I'm sure we can